Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday, February the 3rd, 2026, 2-3-26, 15 minutes past the hour. Glad to have you along for the ride this morning. There's a lot of stuff going on with the city. We're going to save that for next hour, so stay tuned. A lot of stuff going on in the city of Marion, government-wise, that you will certainly want to hear about. For the first hour this morning, though, we are joined in studio by a gentleman who last year ran for an at-large seat, Marion City Council, Kent Halloran. Kent, good to have you in the studio this morning.
Good morning, and thank you for having me, Scott.
Kent, very interesting. You're coming here this morning because something has happened with you. You want to make an announcement this morning? Let's start there.
Absolutely. Well, as we spoke last year, toward the end of the year, I talked about, you asked me if I was going to come back and run again, and I said I wasn't sure. I was going to think it over. I was going to talk to some people. Well, some people talked to me. I got a call from the Union County Democratic Party, and they have asked me to run for the State House seat for District 86, which does include the city of Marion. Mm. And I have agreed, and we filed our petitions, and we're off and running.
When they called, what was your first reaction?
My first reaction was a little bit shock. I ran as a write-in, and so I wasn't convinced. You know, I did get a good number of votes, and I appreciate those from those who did vote for me. But I didn't think I had the name recognition to warrant a call. I mean, maybe a county seat or a county office, but when they're calling about running for the State House, and I think that it is a concerted effort of the Democratic Party to rebuild its reputation in the rural areas. I think for too long, the state and national parties have all but given up on the rural areas, and that is changing. And I'm living proof. I mean, they contacted me, they heard me on the radio, and they liked what they heard, and they want to get names on the ballot, and we want to give people a choice. And this is one way we can try to break the stronghold, or rather the stranglehold, that the GOP has on the State House right now. I mean, a supermajority means they can do anything they want, and they seem to be trying that.
What part of their pitch appealed to you?
The part that appeals to me is getting people out there and giving people a choice. People, I mean, for too long, and again, you can put it's the chicken and egg argument, whether voter apathy is brought about because no one ran or no one ran because of voter apathy. I say let's nip that in the bud. The only way a democracy works is with people getting out there and voting. And for example, the last election we had, the last local election in November, we had 9% of the eligible voters in Marion County vote. 9% of the people who can vote, who can express their opinion. What happened to the other 91%? And to me, my push here and my goal is to get people out there to vote, get the choice made, and make this a real democratic election, not one where, you know, a handful of people who either have nothing better to do or truly do believe in the system vote.
When they called, what sold you on this?
What sold me on this was as they asked me questions about how I felt about things. For example, government accountability. I think for too long the State House has been run in a shadow almost because, again, the biggest elephant in the room there would be the $60 million bribery scandal. Okay, we got one person in the House was lost, but you can't tell me that others did not receive some level of graft with that. Also, they asked me about some of my positions, and I am firmly that, and again, the position of abortion came up, and I told them we passed a constitutional amendment protecting the right to an abortion. That should stand. I don't know why it is even debated. Why are they trying to pass new laws to supersede the constitutional amendment? I'm a big one for individual rights, and that is all individuals, not just the ones that look like me or the ones that look like you. It's everyone has equal rights under the law, and this should be respected by our government.
Now, our current representative in the 86th District, Tracy Richardson, is out because of term limits. She's been there four terms. That's 8 years. This is primarily a Republican seat. How do you combat that?
You just go out there and you give people a choice, and you be very upfront and blunt about your opinions. How do you think? What would you do? You know, you give me an issue, and if I don't know the answer right off the top of my head, you know what? I'll get back to you, because I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know everything. I mean, we've got a lot of that going on too. The simple fact is that I'm here to, I want to serve the public. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be over the public. I want to get some direction from the public. Now, I do have my own opinions on things, and they may differ from the public, but I do still want to be connected with the public, and I want to be a lot more out with the people.
A lot of people feel this district is very gerrymandered toward the Republicans. How does a Democrat win?
By going out and talking about the issues and talking to the Republicans. This isn't just a here's my information, Democrats, get out there and vote. No, I'm here to represent all the people. If I'm elected, I'm not just representing the Democrats, and I'm not just representing Marion, the city that I live in. I'm representing the whole district, and I will be listening to the whole district, Republicans, Democrats, and independents alike.
Now, you've talked about some issues. What do you think is the biggest issue facing the 86th District?
Oh, my stars. Well, we have a lot of issues. One of the concerns that we have is, and one of the concerns that I have is how we are managing our resources. I mean, everyone's talked about, oh, we're going to have this industry moved in. I mean, there's been rumors. I won't say they're substantiated, but there have been rumors that, oh, we're going to get a new data center. A data center? Who's going to provide the water and electricity for that? Those are enormous. And again, they're not saying that it's bad, but it's saying that we don't seem to plan ahead with our utilities and our infrastructure. That is an enormous impact, and as is, you know, another impact, and it's not just affecting the district. It's going to affect us all, is climate change. I mean, everyone's looking outside now and thinking, oh, give me some of that global warming. Well, it isn't global warming, it's the extremes. And we're living in that right now. Between the record-breaking cold in the winter and our persistent record-breaking summers, this is something that we have to address, and it starts at the individual level. We can always point the finger and say, oh, it's government's fault or it's industry's fault. No, no, no. It starts at the home, and it starts with us all.
Do you think politics has become more divisive than in the past?
I think politics is exceedingly divisive. I think it is almost, the other concern I have for it is what one of the reasons it's gerrymandered is it's team sports. I mean, we've gotten so much. I mean, the biggest television event of the year is coming up this weekend. Oh, it's the Super Bowl. Yay. Whose team are you rooting for? I mean, it's amazing how many Patriot and Seahawk fans are going to be in the area, because last I checked, they're not in Ohio. But, of course, if you're going to root for the Browns in the Super Bowl, you've got a long way to go. But we've taken that love of winning and losing in sports, and we've taken that and turned it into politics, because it's easy. They're bad, we're good. No, that's not politics. That's not what we need in a democracy. What we need are people who have good sources of information, and that's another concern of mine, is that we need to get the word out there in all forms, and we need to get people engaged. And that's what I intend to do. And now, you know what? I'm not gonna be the similar to the presidential crybaby who spends 4 years bemoaning and claiming he lost an election through cheating. You know, if I lose the election, I'm going to wish the winner well, but I don't intend to lose the election.
Now, it's very interesting because of Tracy Richardson, the current representative in the 86th district, being term limited. We have a three-way primary going on in that particular Republican race. Now, I want to run down these names. If you know anything about them, let me know, and we'll just kind of go down the people in that Republican primary. Ben Weber.
I don't know. I have to admit, I just got into this race.
Just got in.
So I didn't have much of a chance to research my opponents.
Right. And Stephen Wolf, he's a city councilman from Marysville, I believe. He's been on the program. And Wesleyan Davis, who seems to be making most of the noise there because she ran in the Republican primary against Tracy Richardson 2 years ago. And that got a little sharp elbowed when it came to campaigning, I think, to say the least. And I think they both would say there's still a little bad blood there. So in that particular group, do you see anybody as being more difficult to beat or a favorite in the Republican primary?
I'll be honest with you, I don't. I'm not worrying about the primary. As soon as the primary is finished, then I'll focus on that person. But right now, I'm focusing on getting my name out there, getting the word out there. As soon as we're done here, we're going to have to get all the paperwork going for the campaign. I mean, like I said, I just got into the race a week ago, and we've been more focusing on getting on the ballot than dealing with the opponents. However, I would imagine the lady who ran against the incumbent, I think she's going to be a challenge. She'll be the hardest challenge. I did see I think it was Bob. He was a young man who did a video that I felt it was just, a parrot doing the talking points from Fox News. And I wasn't impressed by it. He seemed a lot younger than I would have thought would have been suitable for this kind of race. But again.
Ben? Was that Ben?
Yeah, that was Ben.
Ben. I did want to talk a little bit about Wesleyan here because we did a story a few weeks ago that her campaign income, the last report that we had at that time, was about $250,000, $250,000. Now, do you think for a position that pays between $70,000 and $80,000 a year, I think it's actually $71,000 a year, it's a two-year position, is this at all interesting to you that you would have to raise $250,000 plus or get $250,000 plus, however it has come, to run for a position now that pays $71,000 a year?
Well, I think that you could say that about campaigns from the local level all the way through the national level. I mean, we're spending billions of dollars on elections at the federal level, and the fact that this level, $250,000, no, that seems about right. Given that, if you look at what's the president earn, about $200,000 a year, and how many billions did he spend? No, it's ratio-wise, it's probably about right. Now, that's having said it's about right, it's really wrong because we shouldn't have money dictating, who gets their message out. We shouldn't have the power of the purse overruling the power of just getting the information out there.
Do you think you can raise $250,000?
I'm going to try. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try very hard, but whatever I get, I'm going to use to the best of my ability. If it's not $250,000, I'll get what I can take, and we will put it to good use. And hopefully, it's going to be a little gumshoeing once the weather gets a little warmer, because the last thing you want to do is knock on someone's door when it's 3 degrees below zero. But I'm going to get out there. I'm going to meet with people. Hopefully that'll help overcome if I do have a funding shortage. Hopefully that will overcome it.
I think the biggest problem people have with this, and in all races they have this problem, is basically, are you trying to buy the election? We see the gubernatorial race we've got going on, and we keep seeing record-breaking fundraising. And I think people look at that and go, wow, is it about buying the election?
And to some extent it is. The most people get the word out how? Television commercials, mailers, all those cost money. And my goal is to try to be more of a boots on the ground type of campaigner. I'm still going to have mailers, and I'm still going to have yard signs, and we'll get that going as soon as we leave here. I got to start my financials. But yeah, to answer your question, we are essentially treating the election, and part of this goes all the way back to the Citizens United decision from the Supreme Court, that money is free speech. Well, I disagree with the decision, and the results of every year we're breaking new records for fundraising. Last presidential election, most expensive presidential election we ever had, the year before that, or the one before that, most expensive president. And it's going to just keep going up and up. And what that's doing is that may give the wealthy people a foot in the door in politics. And they've already got their foot in the door in politics in a number of ways. We don't need to give that over to them as well.
With the Republicans being so strong in Ohio and certainly in this particular district, how do you beat whoever comes out the winner in this primary?
I just beat them on the streets. I talk to people in person because, again, I may not have the money to go out there and buy television ads. But I'm going to talk to people because I think, you know, you're talking about, issues that are affecting the people. Now, you know, I mentioned climate change. That certainly is affecting people. But what's affecting people more right now are just the price of groceries. And what can the state do to help reduce these costs? We might be able to, have some tax relief. We might be able to do something. But it comes right down to what do people need to help them get by? Because it's more than just affordability. We've got housing crisis in this area. We have people who can't afford houses. We've got houses that are either, and some of them, you can go right down here and on the road near my house. You've got a house that looks like, a stiff breeze will knock it over. And again, that all goes to infrastructure. We've got to promote people being able to get their own home. A lot of people, and my wife and I were renters for the longest time. And basically, we ended up having to move out of our place because we had a rat infestation. And, the landlord didn't care because he was still getting his money from us. And that's not and we've got to, if people want to rent, that's fine. And that's a good way to go as long as their landlord pays attention to the laws. But there are a lot of people right now can't even conceive of owning a house. My own daughter, they have no intention of buying a house because they know they can't afford it.
Do you think President Trump is still as popular in Ohio as he was a year ago?
Oh, I don't think so at all. I think President Trump, by the myriad of, and I'm going to use the word crimes, that he has committed between his graft and his grifting with the United Arab Emirates, his Qatar jet, you name it. But then you also look at what he's done in cities like Minneapolis. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, as soon as he leaves office, he should be tried for murder.
Really?
Because the only criminals at those protests that I can see, and I've watched a lot of video, I don't need to be told by Kristi Noem what I'm looking at. What I see in those videos, the only criminals I see are the ones wearing the ice vests.
So you think the president should be tried for murder?
As complicity, yeah, or as, what, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know the proper legal term, but he should be looked at because those people were there on his order.
How less popular, there's no real way to know, but how less popular do you think he is in Ohio? If we would have said that he was 10 during the last election, which he beat Harris in Ohio pretty well, where do you think he is now?
I would say he's at a 5, maybe 6.
So half of where he was.
I think I've known some people who voted for Donald Trump and do regret the vote right now, because many of his, people say that, politicians break their promises all the time. Well, his were obvious. I mean, we still don't have all of the Epstein files, and he signed the bill authorizing their release. And I seem to recall him saying he was going to stop the Ukrainian war on day one. Last I checked, this is past day one. And he hasn't tried. Or if he has, it's been, hey, Vlad, can you lay off a little bit? So I think he's broken enough promises. And again, there are a lot of people out there that are still struggling with the grocery bills. The egg prices may have come down, but that has nothing to do with Trump. That has to do with the bird flu epidemic passing and getting more hens to lay at the moment.
Well, and that's something interesting because we don't know who your opponent will be until after the May primary. But of the three, I've interviewed them all, and I believe they all support President Trump. So is this something the voter needs to know? Do they need to be on the record as supporting Trump? And is this something you use in a campaign against them as campaigns now seem to be from the top down instead of the bottom up locally?
Well, locally, I'm trying to go back from the bottom up. You know, if someone asks me who I support, I think I'm pretty clear that I don't support Donald Trump. But here's the thing. Who I support and who I voted for doesn't affect who I am and how I'm going to serve. So if they want to support Trump, that's their choice. I don't agree with it. I think, as I mentioned, I'm not going to reiterate all that. I think Trump is a criminal. He is a criminal. He's got 34 felony convictions. If you or I got one felony conviction, we wouldn't be sitting here right now. We wouldn't be doing our jobs.
So if they said, any of these candidates in the Republican primary said, that's not true, greatest president we've ever had, doing a great job, you would say?
I disagree 100%. I have the facts to back me up.
What do you think? ICE is a big issue in this country right now. Yeah. What do you think of what has gone on in Minneapolis and what could be headed to Springfield? There was a big church gathering, I believe, yesterday or Sunday in Springfield because the Haitian population there is very, very worried about what might happen.
And as they should be. Now, I know there has been a federal judge that put a stay on the removal of the temporary protection status for Haitians. So, but again, we've all known that this president has ignored judicial orders at his whim. So they have a right to be worried. You know, the only thing we can do, and again, when you're looking at Minnesota, these were peaceful protests. The only ones that were using weapons were ICE. And again, you can watch those videos. If somebody thinks that, well, they were justified in that, you know, okay, so like the example of the latest young man who, unfortunately, as I'm talking on here, I'm blanking on his name. But the young man who was the nurse, who carried a gun.
Preddy,
thank you. He was carrying a gun. That is his Second Amendment right. He had the gun removed as he was on the ground, surrounded by 10 well-armed men. Now, how is it they fired? I understand they fired up to 10 bullets. How is a man who's on the ground, surrounded by 10 law enforcement officers, how is that worth a sentence of death? They're acting as judge, jury, and executioner right there. And last I checked, that's not what our country's based on.
Is there a fear that ICE will come to Ohio?
Absolutely. They're here.
Yeah.
They are here already.
In a big way.
Well, the big way is I'm, as you pointed out, Springfield is probably the most likely way. But I think they're going to be targeting, you know, City of Columbus. I don't know if they're officially a sanctuary city or not, but the City of Columbus has a lot of immigrant population. City of Cleveland does. So why wouldn't they come here? Now, I have a feeling that I think there's been enough negative pressure and negative feedback that I'm hoping that if they do come here, they're going to be under less egregious orders. But you don't know that. And unfortunately, these men are, many of them are ill-trained. They may be former military, I don't know. But I do know that, well, I think there saw a report on, was it the New York Times broke a report saying that over half of them could not pass the physical challenges that are required for recruits. So why are we sending them out there? And I think one of the other rumors I heard is that they're paid per bust. And I'm kind of thinking, okay, is that what we want to do? Just, you know, they can grab anybody off the streets and bring them in and they get bonus. That's a little bit like paying referees for every time they throw the flag. It's like we'll still be in the third week of the season right now because the refs won't let the games complete. That's not how law and order should work. And it isn't how it's supposed to work, and it isn't how our laws intended to work.
Want to talk about the gubernatorial race, because we have seen the down-ticket vote be very prevalent here in Ohio for about the last 10 to 12 years at this point. When there is a presidential race, when there is a gubernatorial race, if you look at the local elections, it pretty well follows suit with about 2 or 3 percentage points difference, give or take, depending on whether you have an R or a D next to your name, not so much who the candidate is. Now, this year, the top of the ticket, you can look at the Senate race between Husted and Sherrod Brown, or you can look at the gubernatorial race. It's usually the gubernatorial race between Amy Acton and, we think, Vivek Ramaswamy, although I believe he does have a primary challenger. When I've interviewed Ben Weber and Stephen Wolf and Weslyn Davis, they all seem to be pretty pro-Vivek Ramaswamy, to different degrees, but pro-Vivek Ramaswamy. What do you make of Amy Acton and Vivek Ramaswamy?
I think Vivek Ramaswamy, it put him right in the same category as Donald Trump. He was taken to court for cheating his employees. I think he moved the most of his operation out of Ohio. I think they're in Texas now. So why does he even care about Ohio? Why is he even here? Amy Acton is here. She's on the ground. In fact, she's having an event on Friday, this Friday in Columbus at the Seventh Brothers Brewery, and then she'll be out at Marysville. And she's here. She's on the ground. I think Vivek had one event here last year sometime. I think it was just to raise money. So I'm all in on for Amy Acton. Dr. Acton would be a far better governor. She actually cares about Ohio and Ohioans. And again, Ramaswamy, as far as I know, he's not even living in the state right now. Or if he is, he has a token house.
Well, Amy Acton is ahead in some of the polls, and I think this is giving Democrats hope because the down ticket vote might mean something if Amy Acton does well. Do you think she will do well? Do you think it's possible she will be the first female governor of Ohio?
I absolutely do. I think she's got a lot of energy. She's got a lot of fantastic ideas. And again, as I mentioned, she's here. She's touring the state, bringing her message to the people. Versus throwing up commercials and, hoping you get more money. I don't know what his policies are going to be other than MAGA light, or maybe not MAGA light. It may just be pure MAGA. But, it's one of those things that I think he is just, he's running with Trump's backing. That right there, I think might have a bit of a negative spin to it. Trump's coattails are shrinking rapidly.
I was talking with Jim Renacci, who ran for governor the last time around on the Republican ticket in the primary against Mike DeWine. And something he said still echoes in my ear. He said he has had conversations with Vivek Ramaswamy and said being a Hindu is going to be a problem in Ohio in the rural areas where the Republicans need to win. Do you think that's a problem? Now, this was one Republican to another.
If it's a problem, it's not my problem, and it's not Amy Acton's problem. So it could be. Let's face it. One of the things that Donald Trump has done is he has made, he's made racism acceptable again. All of a sudden, now we can be racist, and it's okay. And I don't think that's not true. It isn't okay. Our country has been made strong by immigration. And in fact, I saw one report that says the American population is possibly going to start declining at the next census. Well, we need people to work for us, and the immigrant labor is what agriculture depends on, construction depends on, and to just treat immigrants as they're not citizens. They pay into the taxes. The argument that the Republicans make is, they're taking away from the tax base. No. They're contributing to the tax base. They don't get the benefits of Social Security, but they're contributing to it. And so, to me, it's all backwards. We need people. We need to get over the hate in this country. Why has our politics gone into who you hate the most? That's not the way we should be voting.
With all current state office holders being Republican. And you certainly look here in Marion, all city and county office holders more or less are Republican at this point. If you are running as a Democrat in the 86th district for the House seat, who do you turn to campaign with? Who do you turn to get an endorsement from? Who do you turn to because nobody's a ship by themselves.
True. You know what? I'm turning to the people. As far as support goes, I'm going to start in the bottom and work my way up. I'm not going to cater to, you know, I'm not looking at you know, someone wealthy to fund my campaign. I'm not going to start that way. I'm going to get on the ground. You know, weekends I'm going to go, may spend one weekend in the downtown Union County, and then maybe one weekend I'll spend it here. Let people talk to me. I'll walk around the neighborhoods. I'm not going to try. First off, I don't know a single millionaire. You know, it's surprising. They're all over the place, but I don't know one of them. I'm going to accept small donations, of course, but I'm going to build from the ground up. I'm not going to start looking for the big money.
What has been the problem with the Democratic Party in Ohio and locally for quite some time now?
I think the biggest problem with the state and national to that extent, but the state party focused so heavily on the urban centers. That's where their support was, so they focused on the urban centers. And I think now, finally, especially after the last presidential election, where you can see the color of the maps, and you've got like five blue dots on a sea of red in Ohio, I think finally the Democrats realize that they've got to reach out to all the people. I think that's finally struck home. And so that's where I'm here. And I'm going to reach out to everyone, Democrat, Republican alike, because it's not a matter of hate. I'm not going to only look at people and say, well, you're Republican, I don't like you. No. Come on.
What are the key issues for and of the Democratic Party in Ohio right now?
Well, the key issues, I think, are, again, affordability and, to another thing, possibly to quote Marion's own Warren G. Harding, get back to normalcy. I mean, when was the last time, prior to 2016, when can you remember waking up and doom-scrolling to see what utter nonsense the federal government's gotten into? Everything from renaming the Kennedy Center to, telling a dictator in Argentina we're going to bail him out. Why can't we just get back to when government worked for the people but didn't drive the people nuts with all of the crazy antics?
You know, it's very interesting. Part of Marion is in the 86th district.
Yep.
And we want Marion to do well. Obviously, we're doing this show in Marion, but recently we've seen some financial troubles here in Marion.
We have.
Had to call the auditor of the state, get a plan together, operating at what looks to be a deficit at this point. Our auditor has resigned within the last month. Now, we did learn that Vidya, the new treasurer, will be the new auditor, but now we have to find a new treasurer. Also, we learned this morning that Public Service Director Mike Bodine has resigned his position, left his position in the administration. Downtown Marion will not have any funding from the county or the city because of budget cuts being made other places. Does it help that these are a lot of Republican politicians, and you can point to this in your own local race and go, well, my party didn't do that. If you keep going the route you're going, you're going to get more of this.
I think that's a key point, and yes, I will use that. But the other key point is this: part of the problem is it isn't just that Marion is leans Republican, because for the longest time, the Democratic Party gave up on Marion. Maybe not literally, but they certainly didn't put a lot of people up for election, so there were no choices. We had a 9% turnout this last time because we had only two contested races on every card, you know, the auditor was uncontested, and you know what lasted 2 weeks in her next term. You know, the school boards all uncontested. It's time we contest these things, because again, one of the things that the multiple party systems do is they keep each other honest. You can come in with some ideas, you can have other ideas, and it's called compromise. And right now in the state, there's no need to compromise because the Republicans have the super majorities. In the city, there's no need to compromise because they're all Republicans. They do what they all want to do, and then next thing you know, I mean, I always went back to the Love Your City campaign that we did, where we spent $10,000 or so dollars just to have a downtown party when we won this. And I asked the question, and no one's really answered it with any great accuracy. What did we get from that? We won the Love Your Neighbor or Love Your Party city competition.
Yeah, what was it? Strongest Town.
Strongest Town. Thank you. Yeah. We won the Strongest Town. Okay, what did we get for that? Anything?
I think a video.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've heard that. Yeah.
I think there was a video.
Okay. Well.
Good publicity?
Is it? I mean, we got the new signs up. I'm sure they cost a pretty penny. And now that we find ourselves broke, seems like that was, and it seems to me, someone along the line should have known. I mean, that, you know, and again, I've heard the things pointing, well, this has been a problem for a long time. Okay, it's been a problem for a long time. Why, you've been in power for a long time. Why aren't we fixing it? Why is it taking it this long? Why is it that we've had to mess up our payrolls for our city workers? Why is it, and how has it gotten to this point where, okay, we had to turn to the state? And I think there was a, Twyla Lang, I think, in yesterday's meeting said, well, if we'd had a charter city, it's like, no. A charter city is not an end-all, be-all to solve all problems. You know, you're kind of right now in a situation where you're in a boat that's leaking. You don't start by building a new boat next to it. You start by fixing the leaks before you worry about that. A charter city costs a lot of money to start. You just don't wave a magic wand and it's here. So we are what we are. We are not a charter city. We have our rules that we have to follow. But let's fix the problems. And
you were at the committee meetings last night. How do you make of how our city council is operating?
I think the city council, and I think there was one young lady who spoke there. I think the city council needs to be a lot more open. I mean, they're talking about having behind the door meetings with the IT guy. Well, and she rightfully showed, it's like this needs to be in front of the people. Now, again, IT has a lot of protections and a lot of things that you can't make public, but you can certainly be a lot more open with what you're planning on doing. I mean, we're talking about, okay, we sent a budget down to the state and we're waiting on the state's words. Has anyone shared that budget? I haven't seen it.
Do you think that this council is there right now? How do you think the mayor's doing? Let's start there. He spoke a lot last night.
He did. He seems to be on top of things, but he also is. He has a way of just kind of, oh well, we've sent that down to the state and we're waiting to hear from him. Okay, what have you sent down to the state? Why can't we see what it's going to be? I mean, we kind of do these things. It's a little bit like, you know, don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain, if I can use a Wizard of Oz reference. It seems, and again, I understand this is a challenge for all our politicians, and I certainly want them to succeed because they have to succeed. This city needs them to succeed. But there's also a lot of places they can turn to where they can get maybe some knowledge that they're either lacking or just don't want to acknowledge.
Well, and coming back to a point you made earlier, do you think this council is there because they're qualified, or are they there because nobody ran against them?
I think a little of both. I mean, they all got elected, maybe not initially, but incumbency, a lot of times people, and this goes to the voter again. Now, again, if they're the only ones running, obviously they're going to get in the office, and so I think that what that does is that gives you a level of complacency that maybe you shouldn't have when you are running a city. You shouldn't be you know, kicking back, relaxing, and saying, hey, there's nothing to worry about. I'm going to be elected. You know, it's like, it's not the, that's not the purpose of being in office. Being in office is to serve the public. It's not to keep your job. And if you can't keep your job by just being good at it. And again, we had, the auditor is a perfect example. There was one choice for auditor. And it was the one that at least the mayor and most of the council seems, they kind of threw her under the bus and saying, well, it was all her fault. I'm sorry, you all have been here how long? It's not all her fault.
There will be people who hear that you're running as for the seat in the 86th district, the House seat, as a Democrat, and say, no way. It would almost be a punchline to them that this seat has been held by Republicans for a long time. This district is gerrymandered. There's a three-way primary going on the Republican side. One candidate has raised at least $250,000. Who knows how much the other candidates will raise? That there is no way a Republican can win this race, and that basically you're just a name in there to satisfy the Democratic Party. What do you say to people who would say that?
Well, what I would say is money doesn't vote, people do. All right. If you know, there are going to people that they're going to be people that take that attitude. I challenge them. When I have these public meetings, I'm going to try to arrange. Come out and talk to me. You tell me that. Tell me that that's you're not going to vote for me because you don't think it's worthwhile. You don't think it's worth it to vote for somebody. You don't think it's worth looking at where candidates stand, looking at what their opinions are, looking at how and thinking about how they might vote. If that's what your idea of government is you just don't care because, oh, it can't be because there's so much money. It's like, well, that's why we're in the mess we are right now. We're letting money decide our elections. Now, as I mentioned, that was part of that. It was due to the Supreme Court decision. But you know what? We as voters, we as citizens of this country, we can decide who we vote for, and we should. We don't need to have pundits. We don't need to have commercials. We don't need to have the billionaires or the millionaires who can donate $250,000 to one person. We don't need them to tell us what to think. And that's how I'm going to have to. That's how I'm going to run this race. I can't run it on money alone.
Well, aside from the money, just not being a Republican, because the Republicans have had a pretty good hold on this area for a while.
You're right, and I'm going to break that hold. You know, if you're complacent, if you're happy with that, how that's going. I mean, look around you. I think you could see that there may be some challenges there. But you know what? There's nothing guaranteed unless no one runs. And that's the problem we've had, especially in Ohio. That is the problem that we have, that at least now the Democratic Party is addressing, and they're taking care of it. They're looking at it, and they say, you know what? We do need to be in these areas, even though they're gerrymandered, even though the lines were drawn for the sole purpose of protecting seats. You know what? That's letting some committee tell you how you're supposed to think.
The 86th district, as we have said, runs through Marion. How do you appeal to the voters who have voted Republican for a long time?
I talk to them and ask them, "What is this what you want in your government? You know, do you think the divisiveness? Do you think the hatred? Do you think them versus us? Is that really what we want in this country? Seems to me we don't. I think more and more people are tired. We're getting exhausted of this, you know, and the goal, first goal I thought of, and I've had this question for a long time is, okay, why do we have 90 House districts in the state? We have 88 counties. Possibly we could just, make people represent the counties. Rather than drawing new lines every 10 years that go to the courts, and the courts, we haven't had a chance to fix it. Oh, by the time they get to it, we're kind of stuck now because, the courts couldn't get to it in time. Okay, let's quit letting people who draw lines on a map decide for us how we're supposed to vote.
The local Marion Democratic Club, as recently as last year, has trouble getting people on the ballot. Is it hard to run a race like this with no apparatus, or do you think they're getting better?
I have joined the Democratic Club, and I'm not as arrogant as that makes it sound. I think they are getting better, but I think the Democratic Club are finally moving forward, and it might take some time, but I think it will in the end it will work out. I think we're getting some new people on the Central Committee, and my wife is running for Central Committee, so she's going to be part of it, and I think we've got to get better. It must be better because, again, this country needs choice. Every voter, first off, every voter needs to be engaged. Every voter needs to at least take a look at things before they vote. And they've got to get out there and they've got to vote what they feel is right.
With about 2 minutes left in the program, why should people vote for you?
Because I'm going to listen to them. I'm going to explain my positions to them. I'm not going to hide a darn thing from them. I'm going to be out in the open. And I am going to serve this district. I am not going to go to Columbus and stay there. I'm going to be living right here in Marion. And I am going to be here to serve the people.
Ken Halloran this morning announcing on this program that he will be the Democratic candidate for House Representative, the House Representative seat in the 86th District. And right now, we believe that will be an uncontested primary, but who knows as we go on down the line.
Well, we got one more day.
We'll see what happens, but Ken Halloran on the ballot. Ken, thank you so much for coming by this morning and making the announcement.
Thank you, Scott.
We'll be back right after this.
Up at nights.
Well, I don't say it keeps me up at night. I have to think that nobody likes criticism, but sometimes it's very legitimate.
Final question I have for you, Helen, is probably the question I've been